careful your prayerful attention as he brings the message to us. Bob?
Thank you, Don. I would appreciate your prayers this evening. Today's been a full day for most of us. We seem to pack as much into the day of rest as we can sometimes. But I know that the Lord will be merciful and faithful. Well, I would like to tell you a story. Start off with a story about a guy named Clifford. Not the big red dog, about a guy named Clifford. Clifford was a decent enough guy, and he was an outdoors photographer type person. And he was up at the Grand Canyon, and a bunch of us were going to be going up there next month. Clifford was on the was taking a picture of the Grand Canyon, and most of us have seen it, not everybody, but it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's a wonder of God's creation, and it's easy to become overwhelmed, and especially when you're looking through a tiny camera lens, you can lose your balance. And every year, there's some people that die at the Grand Canyon. Gravity always works. That's one of the laws that you cannot get a lawyer can't get you out of. So that's what happened to Clifford. Clifford was up there on the edge of the Grand Canyon. He was taking the picture, and he kind of lost his balance. And he was too close to the edge, and right there where there was some gravel that kind of sloped down right towards the edge of the cliff. And he got too close on that gravel and started sliding. And so, picture yourself. You start sliding, most of us have been on sand or gravel when it starts to slide. And he's turning around. The harder he's turning around to climb, to crawl back up, the worse the gravel and the pebbles are falling, and he just keeps going down and down and down, and he turns around and he sees the edge of the cliff. And he grabs it. There's a branch that's sticking out right there at the edge, and he grabs it just as he's hanging over this huge chasm. By the way, the guy's name is Hanger. Cliff Hanger. So Cliff is hanging on this branch. Out here hanging, his feet are dangling in space on the edge of this cliff. And can you imagine what you'd feel? You'd be panicked. Help! Help! Anybody up there? And there were some people up there, but they were all Japanese and didn't speak English. And so they couldn't help him. Well, not really. So he's hanging there from this branch. And the roots are starting to pull out, and he's just hanging there, and he hears his voice. Hello? Anybody up there? Yeah, I'm here. Can you help me? Well, what happened? Well, I fell off this cliff, and I'm hanging by this branch, and I'm going to die. Well, I might be able to help you. Do you believe? Yeah, I believe. You bet I do. Do you have faith? Yeah, I got faith. Boy, do I got faith right now. Well, I think I can help you. Just let go, and everything will work out fine. Is anybody else up there? What was Cliff's problem besides hanging over a cliff? Trust. That's what I want to talk about tonight, trust. Trust, Webster says that trust is a reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, the veracity, the justice, the friendship of another, or other sound principle of another person. And I'm not talking about trusting another person. I'm talking about trusting in God. How important it is. We as humans are strange creatures. The way the Lord's made us, we tend to do everything but what we're supposed to do sometimes. and place our trust in everything but what we're supposed to. For instance, I want to look at Joshua tonight. Everybody knows the story of Joshua, right? We're not quite to the Battle of Jericho, but we'll refer to it. In the first chapter of Joshua, the Lord talks to Joshua. Joshua had a close relationship with the Lord. He succeeded Moses as the leader of the Israelites. And in the first chapter, the Lord, I'll start with the first verse, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I think about that promise. This is the Lord talking to Joshua. Joshua hasn't earned anything. This is a promise to Joshua saying, this land is yours. Wherever your foot goes, I give this land to you. That's a wonderful promise. And he goes on and tells, promises other things and telling Joshua to be of good courage and it's going to require a lot of work and all these different things. But he gives this promise to Joshua that wherever his foot treads, the Lord's going to give it to him. Because Joshua was one of those spies that was sent into the land back 40 years ago. And when they came back, he's saying, okay, there's giants, but let's go get them. And everybody else said, no, we ain't going in there. And so the Lord punished them. But Joshua was one of the ones, it said, that they could go. Having said that, the Israelites were right outside Canaan at the time. And when Joshua had this experience, promise that was given to him of the Lord. So what's the first thing that Joshua does? Can you guess? Besides knock things down and make noise. No. We're going to look at the second chapter. Joshua, first verse, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Did you ever think about why? Why did Joshua send spies into the land of Jericho? The Lord had just got done telling him that wherever you go, it's yours. You will conquer this people. Why? Did Joshua send spies? He wouldn't need to know. You know, when a general is on the battlefield and he's making plans for this war he's about to engage in, he sends spies. You know, we send our special forces and our satellites and our high tech stuff to go in so we know how strong the enemy is, know where he's weak. Know how to attack, how to conquer this, how to win this battle. Why would Joshua need to send spies? Couldn't he just, okay, the land's ours, let's march across the river and let's go take it. Doesn't matter how big Jericho is, doesn't matter how strong it is, the Lord made that promise to us. But he didn't do that. Joshua sent spies. Another story. In the Book of Mormon, in the first chapter of the first book of Nephi, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's fairly lengthy reading, but it's when Nephi goes back. Lehi is commanded of God to go back and get the plates. The plates of brass from Laban. What does Nephi say when he comes back to the tent and the brothers are grumbling? Nephi says, "You know what? I'll go. The Lord wants us to go back and get those plates. I'll go." But you know, he did an interesting thing. What do you remember what he did? Him and his brothers did? They went back to the land of Jerusalem and gathered up all their treasures, all the things of his fathers, to go buy the plates. Why? If they felt like the Lord had told them to go back and get them, why didn't they go back and just take them? Why? I think part of the reason is it has to do with trust. We often, I'm afraid, get the idea that, well, all I got to do is trust God. What, you know, the Israelites are on the borders of Canaan, and Joshua's given the promise, okay, you know, this land is yours. And what if Joshua sat there on the side of Canaan and said, okay. But didn't do anything. We have a tendency, I think, sometimes that, you know, I trust God, so He's going to do everything for me. But I don't think that's scriptural. Joshua was doing what a good general would do. The Lord promised him, hey, you know what? This land is yours. Everywhere you go, you will be victorious. But it doesn't remove Joshua's responsibility to be a good commander. He was doing what was a logical thing to do. You know, as we go on in the story, it wasn't, you know, in the second chapter of Joshua, the Lord didn't say, go send two spies into Jericho. In the first chapter, there's all kinds of things where the Lord said to Joshua, go do this. And in the third and the fourth and the fifth, you know, there's plenty of places where the Lord spoken to Joshua and said, you know, especially when it came to having the walls fall down, you know, march around seven times and blow the trumpet and do the whole thing. The Lord gave direction about how he was supposed to do it. But he didn't tell him to go send spies. But Joshua did what was reasonable. He did what a prudent general would do. You know, and the temptation is to say, well, then God should have punished Joshua because Joshua wasn't trusting in God. He was trusting in his own strength. But when you read the story, God blessed him. He blessed their whole endeavor. Joshua, those two spies, they go in and they go to Rahab's house, a harlot. And Rahab protects them. And they make an agreement with Rahab that, you know, she and her family would be protected when the Israelites came. Nephi, when they went back to get the plates, what happened with all their treasures? Laban stole them, didn't they? And then his brothers were angry and beat him up until the angel stopped him. And Nephi went back. The 106th verse says, you know, not knowing what he was going to do, he went back. And he finds Laban passed out drunk in the street. The Lord had prepared a way, was there before Nephi was ever there.
He had prepared a way for the place for Laban to be available. The Lord had gone into Jericho before Joshua. He prepared Rahab for that purpose. I think often we say we trust in the Lord, and therefore we don't do anything. We sit. But you know, you can't steer a ship that doesn't, it's not moving. Well, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where I'm supposed to work, and I'm not sure where, you know, where am I supposed to live, what I'm supposed to do. The Lord says, trust Him, and He'll show you the way. It's reasonable, and I believe it's acceptable to God to do what we can do while we're trusting in Him. You know, God has given us the ability to think. I'm convinced of it. He's given us the ability to make decisions. He wouldn't give us a brain otherwise. He expects us to consider, you know, well, this job, you know, how is this job going to affect my service? You know, is it going to be near a local? Will I be able to support a family with it? Those are all things that we can think about and make a decision prayerfully and let the Lord lead us. Everybody trusts something. Sometimes we end up, we trust our friends. We trust ourselves. You know what, I got this thing figured out. I can handle it myself. I don't need any help. What does the Lord say about our heart? It's deceitful. Out of our heart comes all of the evil thoughts, adulteries, all the wrong things. And that's what we're trusting in when we're not trusting in God. We're saying, you know what, God, I know this is what you want me to do, but I know a better way. God gives us the ability to make decisions with His help, with His counsel. Unfortunately, sometimes we feel like we can make decisions, so we're going to make all the decisions. We're not going to consult God about where I should go, what I should do. Well, that's wrong. And sometimes people take it to the other extreme, where they're willing to sit back and consider in the morning when they get up out of bed, you know, what color of socks should I wear? I'll pray about what color of socks I should wear. And let the Lord direct me to what color of socks I should wear. I don't think, though, it matters what color socks you wear. I think it can be taken to either extreme of no assistance from God until no action because we are waiting totally upon Him. We have to trust in the Lord. In 1 Nephi, in the third chapter, talks about the rod of iron. I'm not going to go into it, read a whole lot out of it. But we all know the story of Lehi's vision and the rod of iron going to the tree of life and all those people that held on to that rod of iron. You remember when we did that exercise at camp and up at the Camp Four Ages? And we strung the rope through the trees and everybody had to hang on. And they were blindfolded. Or was it night? I guess it was at night. You know what? The promise was that you got to the end of the rope and there would be a mighty blessing. And you had to trust that rope. That rope would lead to that promised blessing. And along the way, the mists and the shadows would come up and deceive us, getting us to let go of that rod of iron. You know, it was our family, so it was the worst. That would have the ability to touch our hearts and make us let go. Because there's a situation over here. Well, I can let go because I'm going to go help this person because I know that this is what I need to do. Because we start trusting in ourselves instead of trusting in God. Instead of hanging on to that rod and waving somebody over and say, hey, this is the way. We let go and go get them. And we're both lost. There's a phrase that if you're going to sail the seven seas, you've got to become a slave to the compass. You know, this little glass ball with a chunk of metal in it that's magnetized that points in one direction. That without that, you will never reach your destination. You know, these scriptures are those. That rod of iron, that compass. It tells you, you know, trust in these scriptures. Trust in God. To have eternal life and to have a blessed life. Joshua had that promise in the first chapter. In Psalms, in the 37th chapter, we have promises as well. 23rd verse. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. That's a promise no different than the Lord gave to Joshua, saying, you do what I say and you'll be blessed. And he's telling us, you know, if we're willing to be obedient, we're going to be blessed. But we can't be obedient without doing. Remember Cliff on the hanger, or on the branch? He had to do something. He had to let go. Sometimes we have to take all those burdens and cares and let go. Joshua, he trusted God by attacking, you know, by sending spies, by doing something. I think there are very few instances in the scriptures when it says to trust in God and do nothing. We have a responsibility to do what we can. Do the things that are reasonable. To think. You know, I always likened it, you know, this here in the 23rd verse, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That tells me that the Lord has a plan. He has a path that he has for your life. And he already knows it. Just like Joshua. You know, when he was talking to Joshua, the Lord already knew about Rahab and Jericho. When he was talking to Lehi and Nephi, he'd already figured out how he was going to get the plates. But he still required those individuals to act. That we don't see the next week, the next month, the next year. We don't know what the Lord has already in the works for us. But he does tell us to trust and keep going. To keep trying doors, and when the doors are closed, well, then you try a different door. You keep moving. It's trying to make progress to our goal. We have responsibilities. We're commanded to obey the commandments of the Lord. We're commanded to work. We have responsibility to work. The Lord knows that, and He has it all figured out. But He has a place for us. We have responsibility to treat each other with respect and tenderness. He expects us to do our part. In the 34th Psalm, seventeenth verse, says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." It places a requirement upon the blessing upon our Lord. He requires righteousness. He requires us to obey his commandments. And with that requirement comes the promise. With obedience is righteousness. And with righteousness is the promise. Talking about trust, you know, Peter, when he was there on the ship, and Peter, they saw the Lord walking on the water. And Peter was the one that got out of the boat and started walking on the water. And as long as he was focused on Christ, he walked on the water. Because as soon as he started looking down and focusing on the water, he began to sink. We start, you know, focusing on the problem. You know, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? We get overwhelmed. But when we focus on God, He lifts us up and through those trials. He makes us stronger. He gives us the ability to do them in ways that we don't imagine. You know, when Joshua crossed the Jordan and was getting ready to attack Jericho, I think that if you had said, you know what, you guys are going to march around the city 7 times for 7 days and blow a trumpet and all the walls are going to come down. You know, if the Lord told him that, maybe he'd believe it. But if somebody else came along and says, you know what, this is how it's going to go, I think there'd be some doubt. But the Lord had already figured that part out. When Nephi went back to get the plates, he didn't plan on having Laban laying before him. But the Lord did. But they had to be willing to act. They had to be willing to go out in faith. One more story. 2 Kings in the 18th chapter. This is when the Assyrians are attacking Israel and Judah. His kingdom's divided. Hezekiah is the king. And the Assyrians come down and capture Samaria. And they're knocking on the door of Judah. You know, Hezekiah is king, and the Assyrians are very powerful. Incredibly strong army and very violent. And Hezekiah initially began paying tribute to the Assyrian king, Sennacherib. Until he rebelled and began to trust in the Lord. And you know, during this time, this is Isaiah was the prophet, and Isaiah gives many prophecies. You know, hey, don't rely on Egypt. Egypt was the other strong international power at the time, and Egypt was saying, hey, you go in with us, and we'll give you horses and chariots, and you can fight them. And Isaiah is saying, don't do it. Don't trust in Egypt. Trust in God. You know, like with Glenn and some of his Sunday school stuff, the Egypt is often a symbol of the world. He's saying, don't trust in the worldly things. Don't trust in your money. Don't trust in your wisdom and your power. Trust in God. So the Assyrians are at the door. They're camped outside. They attacked Judah. I think they took like 46 of the cities in the land of Judah, and they're at the door of Jerusalem. And they send letters into Hezekiah saying, you know what? You got to give up. And they send letter saying, you know, we've done all these terrible things to these other cities. He says, if you trust in your God, it'll be just like all them. They were all destroyed too. We've destroyed their cities. We've destroyed their gods. We've destroyed their kings. And we're coming for you. Unless you give up and start paying tribute. He says, you know what? You guys give up and you can live, and then we'll send you to another town where you can live in peace. We won't bother you. That's not what Hezekiah was trusting in. Hezekiah is acknowledged as one of the greatest kings in Israel because he trusted in God. In the 19th chapter, in the 15th verse, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God. Even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. That was where he put his trust. He wasn't going to Egypt saying, hey, send some armies, we're going to fight these guys. He wasn't trusting in his own strength. He wasn't counting his own soldiers saying, hey, can we take him? He went to God. God answered, and the short end is in the 35th verse. I'll say the 32nd verse. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, or cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 men. This army that was encamped around them. And the Lord removed them. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nishrak, his god, that Adrammelech and Sherezer, his son, smote him with the sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. The Lord took care of it. There are times when there is absolutely nothing we can do, but they are very few. We can trust in the Lord that He will take care of us. He knows our needs, and He knows what is best for us. In closing, I'd like to turn back over to Proverbs, the third chapter, and the 5th through the 6th verse, something that we all should have memorized. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your own wisdom. Trust that the Lord has it figured out, and He has a plan, and He knows how to handle these situations. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And I thank you for your time.